We're going to start another series, a new series today, and the series is titled Unmoved. Unmoved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, we'll get caught up there. You know, we're not supposed to be moved. Amen? We're supposed to be unmovable. Unmoved. And over the next number of weeks, we're going to look at different aspects of what this means. But I want to start with a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. Let's pray as we get ready to read the word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it is your will revealed to us, that you show us who you are. We get to know you. We get to relate to you, Father. It creates our relationship with you. It becomes your voice to us as your word is implanted in our hearts, and we can hear your voice as you speak to us through that word, Lord, as well as through your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that this word today is going to impact us, cause us to be able to rise up and be who you've called us to be, unmovable, unshakable. We are not going to be moved, Lord, by the circumstances of life, but we will only be moved by your word and by your spirit. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 48 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable or immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." God calls us to be immovable or unmovable. We're supposed to be doing the work of the Lord. We're not supposed to be impacted by the world. We're supposed to be impacting the world. And so many of us are being impacted by the world, by circumstances in life. And this isn't the will of God for us. And so we want to be unmoved. Everybody say, unmoved. Unmoved. Let me give you a definition for unmoved. Unmoved is to not be affected by emotion or excitement. Unmoved is not to be affected by emotion or excitement. Unmoved is to not be changed in one's purpose or intention. Unmoved is to not be changed in position. That's unmoved. And that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be unmoved. You see, he took us from death to life, from being lost to being found. He took us from being outside of his body and placed us into his body, into his family. And he wants us to remain there. He doesn't want us to be moved by what's going on in this world and to be just drifting away or walking out of his will. He wants us to be unmoved, always in relationship with him, committed to that relationship. Divorce from God should never be an option. Amen? To be unmoved. And when the scripture, our foundation, our text here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, very familiar to us around here, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk. What happens when you walk? What are you doing? You're moving. So we're unmoved by the things in the world. See, we walk by faith. We're supposed to move in the will of God. We're supposed to move in the plan of God. We're supposed to move in the things of the Lord. He doesn't say just stand around and do nothing to be a blob. He wants us to move, but what he says we're to not be moved by is what we see, the circumstances of life. In that regard, we're to be unmoved. Are you getting it? And so today, as we set up this series for unmoved, I want to talk to you about the fact that we're to be moved by God. We're to be moved by faith in his word, in his promises. We're to hear his word and to do what it says. And if I'm being moved by that, then when the circumstances of life come, and they will, how many of you know, life happens. You can be just moving along. Even those prisoners, you know, they're in a very ordered, everything they do, every moment of every day is scheduled. And you know, and you may have a very orderly life, a scheduled life. You may have a routine. And then it may be full of joy, and you're just jumping around and singing and praising the Lord. I would that all of us would sound like they do every single time we gather together and worship the Lord. They understand what it means to be a prisoner and to be set free. They get being delivered. They get being saved. And because much has been forgiven, they are worshiping with great enthusiasm. Oh, would to God that we were like that. We walk by faith, not by sight. So what moves us is the Word of God, not what the circumstances of life present to us. But even those prisoners may have life happen. They may be put up, you know, for release or for this opportunity, this job, to be able to have this situation happen, and it falls through. They may be in there and pursuing God, and there may be somebody in their family that just turns from them. Life happens. Well, what do? You continue to press in. You continue to worship the Lord. You continue to keep your eyes on Jesus, and you're going to move in the direction God wants you to move. So we walk by faith. We move by faith. We move by the Word of God, not by sight or the situation, the circumstances of life. Now, I'm going to read that particular verse out of two of the Amplified translations. You may not realize it, but now the Amplified Bible that you may have at home is called the Amplified Classic. And the Amplified Bible is now a 2015 release. And they kind of reined it in a little bit. It's still amplified, but it's not just so, just it's not screaming, it's just amplified, projecting really forcefully. Okay? And so I'm going to read both of the classic, the first one, and then the current one, because both of them are really helpful. 2 Corinthians 5:7 in the Amplified, and we have that one, is in the Amplified Classic, I should say. For we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. We trust, with trust and holy fervor, thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. There's a lot in there. And your brain can kind of go, what? You know, you got to really read it. So here's the New Amplified Translation. And that's not available for projection yet. For we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. Let me read that to you again. For we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. How did you get that? That's the 2015. The first one is the classic. Well, you know what they did? You know why it's not available? They updated the old, so now we don't have the old. That's the new one. And boy, isn't it? And I'm glad that's the one that's up there, because we can get it, right? Can get our head around that. We walk by faith, not by sight. What do? We move. We live our life in a manner that's consistent with our confident belief in God's promises or God's word. Amen? Not by sight. You could say it like this: not by appearance. See, not by sight means not by appearance, not the way things appear to be, the way things seem to be, what we may be perceiving. It means not by anything that's actually seen. We're not moved by anything that we can actually see. That's not the faith realm. And listen to this. We do not yet see face to face, but are guided by things that I have not yet seen. This is out of a commentary that I got. We do not see face to face. How many of you believe in Jesus? How many of you believe you're heaven bound? How many of you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Yeah. I mean, we know it, right? First John chapter 5 tells us we can know, and we do. We have that inward witness. We know we're saved. We know when we die, we're going to go to heaven. And yet, we cannot see God. We cannot see Jesus. Probably no one in this room has ever seen the Lord. And yet, we believe. We even know it. There's something in us that makes us know. Heaven is real. Jesus is Lord. And He is alive. And we're going to be in His presence. We know it. That's faith. We can't see it. Can't see heaven. You do a funeral, there's a peace that comes for the saying goodbye to a relative that's died in the Lord, and there's a comfort, and there's a peace and hope. There's sadness, but there's just at the same time a joy, an assurance that we know we're going to be together with them. But we don't see it, but we believe it. We don't yet see face to face, but we're guided by, or we're moved by, what the eye hasn't seen. That's faith. Kenneth Hagin said this: often I ask them if they ever acted as the word was so. Believers that he's talking to that need are asking for prayer. He says, I often ask them if they ever have acted as if the word is so. These are people who are struggling. Why isn't this happening for them? People, he goes on to say, people must act like the scriptures are true. See, because we're Christians, because we believe in heaven, we act like Christians, right? We're different than other people. We restrain ourselves and allow the Word of God and the will of God to restrain us and live by that. Even though, and be honest with me, it's harder in this world to live holy, righteous lives, to live in the will of God. It's getting more and more difficult to be a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, isn't it? But because we believe, we move in that reality, in that faith. We act like the scripture is true regarding our salvation. We conduct our life, live our life, as if that's true. And it needs to be that in regard to all the promises of God. Everything. If that's true, then everything he said is true. If he's lied in one place, then you can just throw out the whole thing. It's unreliable. But God's not a liar. Brother Hagin goes on to say, if they don't act like the word is true, they're walking by what their senses are telling them and not by what the Bible says. That's what's throwing them off. They're walking by what their senses is telling them, not what the Bible is telling them, and that's what's throwing them off. That's what's hindering them from receiving the fulfillment of the promise. He goes on to say, they're missing the faith realm entirely. And the faith realm, is based on what the Word of God says, what the Word says, not on what they see or feel. The faith realm is based entirely on the Word of God, the promise of God. That promise that you can't see. You're feeling sick in your body. The promise of healing says that healing is the children's bread, that His stripes have healed you. Then you can't see it. You're not feeling it. And yet faith says, I receive that. I believe that that's truth. And not what I perceive. Everybody knows the testimony that I've shared regarding my back, that I'm a continuing walking miracle. I'm supposed to be in a wheelchair, living in crippling pain. I say it, and I know people think, yeah, you've had back. You don't understand. It was torturous pain. I was in a, you know, it came to a point where I went to a place where the worst of the worst goes, and I was the model, they said. They always kept saying, okay, this is this one, this is this one, and this is the, you know, the worst it can be, and that's Ray. That's how they would do it. They say, that's Ray. No matter how many surgeries you have, no matter what you do, no matter how much medicine you take, no matter how much therapy you do, it's always going to be extreme pain, and all we can try to do is figure out a way to make life as comfortable as possible so that you can function as much as possible. But that's Ray. Said, you're this close to a wheelchair. You're going to live in a wheelchair. They said it like this. You're going to live in a wheelchair the rest of your life, and you're this close. And they didn't even leave a little gap. You're right there. But the Word of God, I believe the promises of God. And I prayed for God to heal me. And I knew His Word, His promise, had healing as part of what He has given us. And so even though over all of that time, multiple surgeries and everything, all the therapy, all the stuff that I had, I was always standing on the Word of God and said, this is not my reality. This is not the way I live my life. I will not live in a wheelchair the rest of my life. I am healed because God said I'm healed. And I received that as real without seeing it, without feeling it. What you saw, and I kind of do this to show, but when you saw me moving, and this was why I was that close to a wheelchair, the excruciating pain that I had and causing the muscles of my back to become distorted and in constant what they called spasm, not a spasm that shakes, where my muscles were shortened and locked like knots and twisted me out. They had two different braces they put on me just to hold, get me moving back in the right direction. But this is what I looked like. I was what they call bracing. In agony, all my muscles in my body were just tight. You ever hurt and you just, and I was just moving, dragging that foot behind me and hurting. As the day would go by, it was agony. And yet, you could see that. People could see that. And then, within that sense realm, you know, what I see, not by sight, is in the realm of the senses. What are the senses? Sight, sound, you know, what you can see, what you can hear, what you can smell, what you can taste, and what you can feel. And I'm not to be moved by what I feel. I'm to be moved by faith, by what God says. And I decided I was going to trust God and believe Him more than all the experts, all the doctors' reports, everything that my body was saying, everything that doctors were saying, everything. I believe the Word of the Lord. And I received that and was able to walk right into the manifestation of healing. And I continue to do that today. Because if you don't know this, as is in my testimony, a physical miracle hasn't occurred. I live in a sustaining miracle where the physical condition, the nerve that the first surgeon sliced, it was already he was going in there and doing stuff, and he sliced the major nerve in my spine, big time, caused massive nerve damage. So it's physically impossible because that happened. Three outpatient surgeries. No, four outpatient surgeries. Then another major surgery. And then went in and did surgery all around that nerve, trying to take scar tissue off, but maybe even more. And so my nerve is amassed in scar tissue. And then three more outpatient surgeries with a series of these big, giant needles sticking into that nerve, causing more scar tissue. And so physically, in the natural, it's impossible for me not to be in crippling, excruciating, torturous pain right now. And yet, here I am, standing up straight, which was impossible. I couldn't do that. And I'm not special. Let me correct that. I am special. But I'm no more special than anyone else. See, the same promise that I received and believed that I couldn't see it and I couldn't feel it, but I believed it and I live in that reality, that same promise is yours. It said healing is the children's bread. It didn't say healing is Ray Taylor someday in 2,000 years from now. It's going to be for Ray Taylor. And for, you know, these few people. Just as the day of Pentecost happened 2,000 years ago and everybody was filled. Just as God said, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him would not perish. Salvation is for all. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all. Healing is for all. Provision is for all. Peace is for all. Liberty is for all. The promises of God that yes and amen, that are exceedingly great and precious, they are for everybody. Everybody. But the way that we receive them is to believe in spite of the appearance, in spite of the sense realm, what appears to be real, whatever you're hearing, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're seeing, you just say, that's not the reality. I remember a whole lot of years ago, a minister said that the fact is such and such, but the truth is this. So in my case, it's saying, the fact is I had massive nerve damage causing crippling pain. That was a fact. We don't deny the reality, the existence of that. Why would God give healing if there wasn't a need to be healed? So we don't deny that sickness, illness, infirmity, but that's not real. You know, I was reading one of the cults that bring people in, and the first thing they do, stop medicine, stop this, you know, because it's not real. That we don't deny the reality of it. Healing is to heal you of something. Right? So I didn't deny the reality of it, so that's why this minister said it. Creflo Dollar was the one that said it. He said, so in my case, he'd say it like this. The fact is that I have massive nerve damage causing crippling pain. But the truth is I'm healed and free from pain. And that's the realm of faith that God wants us to be living in. And it's available, all the promises of God are available the moment you give your life to Jesus Christ. You don't have to be good enough. How many of you know you don't have to, you can't get good enough to be saved? Do we all agree? We all know that. Salvation's not by faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace we are saved through faith, not of works, not of works, not of our good works, not of our effort. It is the gift of God, right? So we receive salvation by faith, not works. We can't get good enough and then God will save us. If I clean up my act enough, then the Lord will accept me. If I do more good than bad in the balance, then the Lord will let me into heaven. Not at all. We all know that, right? It's simply by accepting the gift based on nothing we could do. Well, that's the way the promises of God are. You know, healing is made available to everybody, and I don't have to work my way up to it. I just have to receive what He's already provided. What He has already done. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you're getting something out of this. In Matthew Henry's concise commentary, he had this to say, it is our duty, and it will be in our interest, to walk by faith till we live by sight. Isn't that good? How many of you know Matthew Henry's concise commentary? You can get it on your iPhone. It is our duty, and it will be in our interest, to walk by faith till we live by sight. See, you've got to walk by faith. You've got to be moved by faith. You've got to act as if the Bible is true, as if the promise is yours. And you do that until you can see it in the sense realm, until it appears. I was declaring that I was whole, that I was healed for years before the manifestation of that healing happened. I was saying it before the first surgery. I was saying it before the major surgery. I was saying it before the second major surgery. I was saying it all the way through. Because I knew it was true. And so the truth was what God said. The facts weren't lining up with the truth. And the facts had to realign. How many of you know that in life, in a court, how many of you have ever watched one of those TV shows? Well, the first half of the show, they show the facts from the defense, you know, from the accused person's point of view. Or let's say it like this, because I think they often do it like, no, they usually do the innocent, you know, make you think, oh, they're innocent. And then they turn around and then they show you the facts from the prosecution's point of view. And you're like, whoa. If you've ever read the book, or they made a movie out of it, about Dr. Jeffrey McDonald, who killed his family. His own father-in-law and mother-in-law staunchly supported him in the initial prosecution and first trial, until they started hearing all these facts, and as more and more they heard, they changed it. So sometimes facts may not be the truth. See, he believed he had some basic facts and believed his son-in-law, but it wasn't the truth. And then once he got all of the information, and how many of you know that only God knows everything? You don't even know everything. I don't know everything. We need to trust the Word of God, not our own mind, not our own senses. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not to our own understanding. If I leaned to my own understanding, I'd be living in a wheelchair today. Because I had a lot of education. When you're going through all that, there and all that therapy and all of that stuff, and that month in the hospital in St. Louis, just constant, educating you, getting you to accept that condition, that appearance. It was all geared toward that. And they were all concerned and told me so. So we really are concerned about you. Really, we get afraid sometimes, because I said, I will not live in a wheelchair the rest of my life. They kept saying, you're going to live in a wheelchair. I said, I will not live in a wheelchair. They wanted me to go to therapy, and they said, get in the wheelchair, ride it. And because they kept talking about this wheelchair that I'm going to live in, I said, I'm not even going to ride it. They'd be like, Ray, what is it with you and this wheelchair thing? I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to embrace it. I said, that is not my destiny. That is not the truth. That is not the way it's going to be. And I was forceful and talked to them. I wasn't disrespectful. I wasn't rude. But I was very forceful and said, no, that is not going to be the reality. I will walk. I will be pain-free. I will jump in. I will be active as a youth pastor and active as a father. Her mother, I couldn't even throw her mother up and down, my little girl. Michelle and Kathy, little toddlers wanted to climb up on Daddy's lap, and I couldn't let him climb up in my lap. I was in a recliner. The church gave me a recliner, and to help, get in a position to try to relieve some of the pain, and they blessed me with this recliner. And the girls wanted to just climb up in there with Daddy. I couldn't let Michelle do that. Couldn't let little smaller Kathy do that. They'd climb up on me sometimes, and I would just, oh! And then they would recoil. I hurt Daddy. See, they were suffering too. I couldn't roll around on the floor and wrestle them, do what Cody does. That was the appearance of things, but the truth of the Word is different. The promise of God, the Word of God, That is truth. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. What I say is truth. I don't care what kind of expert you are. Financial expert can tell you, there's no hope. You're never going to get out of this debt. You're never going to get out of these financial problems. You're never going to get relief. You're never going to be able to pay this off. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your cars. You're going to lose your family over it. You're going to lose all this stuff. And yet God says, I am your provider, I will supply all your needs, and he can help you to be able to come out of those things, just like you come out of a physical infirmity or an illness. because he is truth and his word is truth. His promise is what the truth is. I don't care what the facts are. That's why we're not moved by what we see or feel. We're moved by the word of God. See, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, in talking about what faith is, tells us we're to believe in this invisible realm, the promise. That's the faith realm. And I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified, and then I'm going to read it to you from another newer translation called the Passion Translation, which really, it's not a translation, it's a paraphrase, but it's helpful. Hebrews 11, 1, Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance, title deed, or confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. See, if God said it, that settles it. Remember the old bumper sticker people used to put on? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's faith. God said it, I don't care if you believe it, that settles it. It's the truth. Whether if I didn't believe it, I couldn't live in that appearance, that realm. I couldn't live that way. Believe God loved me, but I couldn't live there if I didn't believe in God's promise of healing for me. So even whether you believe it or not, what settles it, God said it, that settles it. But where faith is that I believe it. And then that settles it for me. See, that's where the rubber hits the road. See, God said it, so that settles it. That's truth. Whether you believe it or not, that's the truth. But if you believe it, that will settle it for you. And you can have it, whatever the promise is. Where did I stop? The title deed, confirmation. Faith is the assurance, title deed, to the confirmation of things hoped for divinely guaranteed. It's guaranteed, okay? And the evidence of things not seen. The conviction of their reality. See, faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Did you read that? Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be perceived by the physical senses. That is faith. In the Passion Translation, it says it like this. Now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. It's all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. You have to receive it while it's invisible, while it's unseen. And that's the avenue. I can't get out the door of this church without walking this path. I cannot get to the promise of God, the manifestation of it, without walking the walk of faith. I have got to receive it. Just like I believe that's the exit. And if this church was on fire, I need to get out there. But if I don't believe, well, something might happen. That may not really be the way out. Maybe there's more fire out there than there. And I start getting in the head rail, I'll miss it. You've got to walk the walk of faith. Now, listen to this. The essence of faith consists in believing and receiving what God has revealed. The essence, in a nutshell, the essence of faith is believing and receiving what God has revealed to you, what his promise is. So when you have a need and you pray and you go to the Word and you see that promise in the Word, he's revealed what his will is regarding that situation. You believe it and you have to receive it. We receive by faith what we will at some point see and experience in manifestation in the natural realm. See, salvation, again, is that. I received my salvation 35 years ago or more, 36 years ago or so. I received that, but I will have the manifestation of that, of heaven, when I either die or am taken up in the rapture. But I'm walking in it. I believe it with all my heart. I live my life according to that. I'm firmly persuaded, firmly convinced, firmly convicted of that reality and that truth, and I will not turn to the right or the left and leave God. In another way to look at it, I put this down. The Word of God is what moves us. Not what we can already see, touch, taste, smell, or hear. The Word of God is what moves us. You say this, the Word of God is what moves me. Okay, now you're hesitant. Will I remember it all? Now that you said it, let's say it like we mean it. The Word of God is what moves me. Not what I can see, touch, taste. You don't have to do all that. It's the Word of God that moves me. And you need to start saying that, confessing that, and lining your life up by every day. The Word of God is what moves me. So when the doctor says something, when the accountant says something, when the devil says something, when other people say something, and when the preacher says something that's not in line with the Word of God, all kinds of preachers out there saying, oh, God doesn't heal everybody. God doesn't provide for his children. You know, I guess he's got favorites. That's not what I read in the Bible. He's consistent. It says God's promises are yes and amen. It does not say yes and amen to my select, very special, elite few. And for everybody else, just endure. Just deal with it. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Remember, for those of you who haven't been around here for a while, the biblical definition, biblical hope, is not what the American English definition of hope is. Hope in English, the way we understand it in our culture, is I hope, I wish it'll happen. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. I hope it does. I wish that'll happen, but that's our language. But the biblical, the real meaning, is to have joyful expectation. Hope is to believe I'm going to receive it. It's an expectation. It's going to happen. See, you can say, we're going to go to Disney World next summer. Okay? Chris could start hoping and have joyful expectation. Haley can have joyful expectation. We're going to Disney World next summer. Oh, I hope this is going to, and because it's going to be. And it will manifest itself. That's the Bible. Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. See, joyful expectation. We live our life, we're moved, waiting for it with perseverance. No matter what things look like, no matter what they sound, we persevere. We keep going toward that, and we don't look to the right or left. We're going to live that promise. We're going to walk as if it's true until it is manifested, because it is true. Amen? Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 through 9 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by the various trials that happened, right? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Now listen to this. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I'm living the faith that I am saved, and it's joy. It's unspeakable, and it's full of glory, and yet the manifestation is yet to come. But it has an impact on how I'm living my life now. Do you see it? That's faith. That's being unmovable. That's not being moved by what we see or feel. The just shall live by faith. in the weeks ahead, I'm going to talk to you about the things that cause people to move from the promise of God. See, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live inside of a body. And so we'll deal with some of these things, these obstacles, these hindrances that'll cause us so that we can stay focused like a laser beam on the promise, on the Word of God, and just reinforce what we've shared today, this foundation. I trust, I believe, I hope that you have, with an expectation that it's true, that you have received something today. I believe that one word from God can change your life forever. And that some statement, some truth, or several may have changed someone's life or someone's life forever. Let's just trust that God is causing fruit to come from this word today. Father, thank you for your word. We just thank you for faith in your word, that there is a truth, and the truth is what you have said. No matter what we see, no matter what we perceive in this natural realm, the truth is what you've said in your word. The truth is what you have promised us. And we make a commitment today, sir, to live our life according to your word, which we believe with all of our heart is your will revealed to us. And so if you say something, we choose to believe it, and that settles it for us individually. And we give you the thanks and the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.